can we do?
Have you seen the news?
What can we do? What should we be doing? What can you do? That is a question that I literally ask myself, and I know that you do too. Consider, though, that 2,000 years ago, the first set of disciples woke up one morning and said, "What should we do?" Jesus, who has been training us, Jesus, who has been showing us that we can work in the miraculous, Jesus showing us how this new covenant works, crucified. There was a time there after the crucifixion where we know that some doubted. And thank God, Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He came back and he answered the question. He actually answered the question in a very simple scripture in Matthew 28. Let's look at that together. Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Remember, after crucifixion. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," here we are, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit." And don't you know that here at North Shore Fellowship, we represent an unbroken chain of obedience for 2,000 years. Imagine that, over 2,000 years. Making disciples of the nation, we're part of that. We help make disciples, and we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is a beautiful thing, and I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad we're part of that. But part of my story in all of this church stuff is earlier on in life, I really became disenchanted with what I called the organized church. I grew up in church. I came to faith through church ministries, but it came to a point where I saw corruption. I saw the denomination I grew up in caring less and less about what the Word of God says, and I became disillusioned with the organized church. And I started to have thoughts like, well, the only right way to be a Christian is to be a solo Christian. And I'm a grown adult now, even in ministry in different ways. But I lost faith in the organized church. And I married Tasha. She's part of this story too. Tasha's brother worked at the seminary for the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And he kept saying, "Come and visit, come and visit, come and visit." So eventually we came and we visited. And I remember we had the tour, and I didn't really want to be there, but my ear caught a lecture from the theology teacher. This is in Nyack, New York. And I sat down in the hallway, and I said, "Guys, just the rest of my family, can you guys just go ahead and just leave me here for a little while?" And I don't remember what the professor was saying, but I do remember what the Holy Spirit was doing. The Holy Spirit was breaking that in me. And in a few minutes in the hallway of a seminary, the Lord changed my heart from not believing in the organized church, but understanding that he was calling me to be a part of it, and that I would go to that seminary if I had to claw through the cement walls. So we did. Tasha and I both went to seminary. We're both seminary graduates, and the Lord has changed my heart. My eyes have been opened. You know, I was already a man of faith, a young man of faith, but my eyes were opened that God uses the church to do big things, partly because some of the things we need to do are bigger than one person can do. I want to put a picture up on the board, and three pictures actually, and talk about this for a minute. Now, the Christian and Missionary Alliance is actually the denomination that you're in right now. A lot of people come to North Shore Fellowship, and we have this great kind of non-denominational vibe. And then at some point, people realize, wait, we're part of something bigger? We're actually a denomination, sort of? Yeah, we are. We're part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, a denomination that's about 150 years old, and from the very beginning, a sending organization. So we can say we, have accumulated over these 150 years the knowledge of making mistakes and the knowledge of having success in sharing the gospel around the world. And it's very interesting to me to tell you this story. This is a story that they taught all of us seminary students, especially the missionaries. This is a true story. We sent missionaries about 150 years ago to a place where it was kind of a jungle setting. And the society that the missionaries found only had a couple of axes, and they needed axes to work in the jungle. And doesn't it make sense that missionaries, in order to connect with these tribal people in the jungle, would gift them more axes and hatchets? Well, listen to this. They didn't know that in this tribe, if a young man wanted to build a home for his new wife, he would go to the elders, and he would explain what he wanted to do, and he would get permission, and he would be loaned an axe. And then the missionaries show up, and they start handing them out like candy to make connections, and their small society fell apart. The whole structure of the way their society functioned fell apart to the extent that these people don't exist anymore. Some of the elders took their own lives, and bringing to the gospel to those people was largely a failure because they weren't sensitive to what environment they were walking into. So now we train our missionaries to examine the culture. We don't need people to become a certain way before they hear the gospel of Christ. We need to figure out what is going on in that culture and then be amazed at what happens when the gospel of Christ lands on a different culture. Because the gospel of Christ doesn't change, but the way it interacts with the world is unique. Now, here's another one. I have a friend, an actual friend of mine, who did some ministry in the islands, and he didn't have the benefit of seminary training or missional training in the way that I'm talking about. And he spent a lot of his time trying to get island people to show up on time. That's not how it works in the islands. It's just not how it works. To us Americans, you know, you lose your job if you don't show up on time. Well, as a missionary in the islands, you might lose your job if you expect people to sign up on time, show up on time, and it becomes an issue for you because you don't understand the culture. So that is something that we teach, and that is why some of this preparation that I'm going to talk about is so important. And then there's this guy. Anybody recognize this guy? This is our own Richie. And this picture's taken right over there as we're building the little children's room. And don't you know it, what I learned through Richie, I missed in seminary, is that when you argue with a Sicilian, you're actually speaking their love language. So it took me a little while to figure out how what was going on when Richie and I didn't seem to get along on a detail. We were becoming better and better friends, and that's how it works for Richie. So these are things that kind of represent the benefits of functioning as a big group, bringing together 150 years of accumulated knowledge for the sake of Christ so that we don't make the same mistakes over and over again, so that we could be maximally effective. So I've kind of shown that we're part of a bigger organization, but get ready for a fire hose of information. All right, so we're going to put up the big infographic now. The big infographic is what I'm going to use to kind of give you a lot of information all at once. There's a lot of information today. Buckle your seatbelts. This represents a lot of what is happening in our denomination. First, I want to tell you that our denomination is not very small. There's 327,000 worshipers, I'm right here, in the United States that are part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And in the United States, there's about 1,900 churches. And in our district, which is New Jersey and New York, it's about 130 churches. And that number is growing. And not too long ago, we were one of those numbers because we are a new church. Here's a little interesting side note. 47%, I know you can't read the details, so I'll tell you what that is. Me, with my white face, am in a minority. Most of people that go to a Christian and Missionary Alliance church are, how do we say, non-Anglo. That's a tippy toe through language, right? But 47% are non-Anglo. I think I got the majority flipped there. So we are a church that represents the world pretty well, if you ask me. And there's reasons for that. One of the reasons for that is this really cool line on the map that I'm going to show you.
is about 150 years ago, the Christian Missionary Alliance was born and was a sending organization. Send missionaries, send missionaries, send missionaries. Well, there's a little dotted line that goes from the docks of New York City to the Democratic Republic of Congo. Kind of goes like this. We were the first to send missionaries there. And now, let me get the number right with my glasses, because there's a lot of numbers today. So we sent missionaries to the Congo, and now there's 1.5 million people in the Alliance Church there. What? That's a good investment. So we keep investing. I want to give a little reality check about the world using this. We, in the United States, in our neighborhoods, we live in this green part of the circle, and we call that a high access area. You would only have to knock on, statistically on average, 6 doors in the United States for somebody to be able to give you a basic understanding of who Jesus is. In most of the world, it's no access. In much of the world, it's no access. So there are places in the world where you would have to knock on 30,000 doors. That means it's virtually impossible, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, to hear the gospel of Christ in much of the world. And the way this map works and the way our denomination works is we send our missionaries, pause right there, we had to stop using the word missionary. Everybody say international worker. The reason why we have to say international worker is because we are sending missionaries to places in the world that they're not allowed. And when I go to these meetings where we send missionaries off, international workers off, they're wearing special name tags of a special color, and we're not allowed to take their picture. And we're forbidden to put their image on social media because it actually puts their lives in danger. And the thing that blows my mind is they're bringing their kids a lot of the time. God has just assured them to the extent that he's going to take care of them and that they can trust him, that they bring their families. And a lot of times, we'll get into it a little more, but a lot of times, since you can't show up as an international worker or as a missionary, you have to go as a professional offering a service, and that's how you would get into one of these countries. So I've talked about how large the denomination is in the United States. You see that we're almost 2,000 churches in the United States. Fun fact, because of 100 years of sending in the rest of the world outside the United States, 20,000 churches exist in the Christian Missionary Alliance. So we are hopping. So our church and the denomination supports about 700 international workers around the world, and they're doing amazing things, and we'll dig into that as we go. Okay, take a deep breath. I want to hear it. Don't worry. It gets worse before it gets better. I'm going to give you even more information, and then we're going to make it simple. Let's talk about how North Shore Fellowship fits in to the Christian Missionary Alliance. We baptize. We make disciples. Now, the Matthew 28 verse has a sister verse, Acts 1:8. Tasha and I have been to lots of meetings where the leader will say, "Good morning, Acts 1:8 family." So this is the sister verse to the Great Commission. Let's look at it together. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, this is Jesus talking. This is after the crucifixion. These are our instructions. And there is God's power when we share the gospel of Christ, but also there's the instructions to go from close to far, from our homes to our neighborhoods to our state to our region, and then to the ends of the earth. And the first time this message was given, it was to go to the ends of the earth this way, right? Because that's where Jesus was speaking. And now here we are in New Jersey, and the ends of the earth for us are the other ways. And we are sending. We are being obedient to that. So these two verses together are the right way to understand the Great Commission. The mission and the power of God are flowing through many churches, but they're flowing through our local church to bring the lost to faith. Now, the next set of things I want to put on the screen are just a couple pictures for me to give you so much more information. You might recognize some of these folks up on the screen. This is the image of the Lee family out to lunch with the Gillios and the Aces. We are out to lunch. So this is the Lee family, one, two, and their teenage kids, three, four. They were here recently. You might remember meeting them. They are Alliance International workers that would have been in Israel already if we let them go. So they are in language school right now, and as soon as it's deemed safe enough, they are moving to Israel with their families to be a light to the Jews. So, wow. Side note, Lee, last name is spelled L-I. Our friends are Chinese. Could you raise your hand if you were here for Rabbi Moshe's lecture not too long ago? This is really just two people in the room right now. One thing we learned from Rabbi Moshe is that, and this is heavy, that when you look like this to a Jewish person, you might remind them of Nazis. You will. That's what we were taught in that. And that's some baggage. But listen to this. These are Chinese people. So when they go to Israel from New Jersey, they don't have that particular baggage. So there's one less hurdle for them to go over as international workers, as missionaries for Christ. So these folks are supported partly through a gift straight to their mission from North Shore Fellowship, but also through the Great Commission Fund. The Great Commission Fund is huge. Well, it's not big enough, but right now it's $70 million. And we use that to support those 700 internationals around the world. Four of them, I guess we could say, were out to lunch with us. I sang so much this morning that my voice is gone. I also want to point out Jacob. Jacob is our friend. He just did a concert through North Shore Fellowship recently. And Jacob is a local Jewish person who came to know Christ as his Savior. So when Raphael seasons his sermons with a little bit of Hebrew, it's not just seasoning. There's something bigger going on, and that bigger thing was recently noticed by our national office. And Raphael has been tapped to help our national office, to help all 1,900 churches in whatever way God calls them to be involved, to do better when it comes to ministering the Jews, to ministering to the Jews, to know how to function better. So we got Raphael, we got Jacob, we got the Lee family, and then these two, really just for eye candy. That's why I have us up there, really just for eye candy. So I used those couple of photos to do a lot of different little points, and there's even more to show you. We're going to go over to what I call the screen of logos. Let the screen of logos appear. North Shore Fellowship is not a Dead Sea situation. And what I mean by that is that many of the blessings that flow into us, we enjoy. But we don't keep everything for ourselves. And that's the way it should be. So we bless other organizations that are doing God's work. So Fellowship of Christian Athletes, we support directly. All these we support directly. Raise your hand if you've ever been to one of their events. This is an organization that helps high school students have a place where they can hear the gospel and respond to the gospel and be active in it. It's awesome. Market Street Mission, anybody been there or know somebody through there? A couple hands. So this is right in Asbury Park, but also in other locations. And they help people get off the streets, I'll put it that way. And they are able to hear the good news of Christ while they're in the, we'll say, shelter. Now, ACT International, you may have noticed that there's a really handsome bald guy up here. Not you, Rob. But you, Rob. That's funny. We got a lot of bills, but we got two bald Robs. So we do send some support to Rob and Heidi through ACT International. And believe it or not, we are not the only church that they have blessed with their knowledge in how to do music and how to lead worship. Because give me an amen, because there's a huge difference between doing music and leading worship. Amen. Yeah. So you don't just bless us with that. And Chosen People Ministries, that maybe it's obvious in our congregation what Chosen People Ministry is, but this is a ministry reaching out to Jewish people to reveal Jesus as their Savior. Amen. So we've got two people that help among us at Solutions Pregnancy Center here in Monmouth County. Raise your hand if you've helped with that in any way, even if it's just your coins. So that is meeting moms in a very delicate time of life, being ready to offer the gospel, and also being ready to help in this I'll say fragile, very fragile time of life. Justice Ventures International, this is an organization that helps women get out of trafficking. And this is an organization that was kind of sponsored by our women's group in the last retreat as something they were raising funds for. So, all right, let me hear you take another breath. Louder. Okay, that's a lot, but it's all good stuff. And at one point in this little sermon here, it's going to get easier. The next set of pictures. Am I in one of these? No, but I took one. This is close to my heart because here's my wife, okay? And here's my wife's brother, Brent. Brent and Liz, are international workers in the Czech Republic. And Kostelna is the name of their church. That's their church building. It's beautiful on the inside. Well, at least it's clean on the inside. And that is, Kostelna is a word that combines church with boiler room, something like that. So they were able to get a hold of an old boiler room, and in the Soviet situations, the central boiler of the town would feed heat to all of the homes in the neighborhood. And now the central boiler in the neighborhood feeds Jesus to whoever is ready to receive. I love what they're doing. It's amazing. This is a picture I took with Tasha, my little Ezra, back when he was smaller than me. And that's Liz in the photo. And this is after we spent an evening going to a little local church, and there was a dozen or so Czechs there, and we were able to share testimony through teaching English. So you have this connection where people want to learn English, and they're happy to hear the gospel as you go. And the last picture, I wasn't quite sure, so I didn't say it right at the first service, but this is Brent and Liz again, international workers in the Czech Republic that are partly supported by North Shore Fellowship. And why would they do Thanksgiving? The United States, our culture is interesting. So this is a way they were able to gather around the table and be a witness to Czechs. But this is not all Czechs. We've got Steve and Shonda's daughter is up here. And she was over there visiting, feeling very, very homesick, and was able to be invited to a Thanksgiving dinner. So I just love that connection. I love kingdom connections like that. So take another deep breath with me. When I see people going far, far away, I'm impressed. Like, to me, international workers, missionaries are like heroes. So let's go back to our big infographic. You could stretch. Our big infographic. We're going to get into four exactly areas of ministry. We call them four specialized structures within the Christian and Missionary Alliance to do missions around the world. The first one I want to highlight is marketplace ministries. Marketplace ministries has a kind of a sweet spot in my heart because when I do carpentry in people's homes, I very often wind up praying with them. And that seems to be a phenomenon around the world. When you go to a country where you're not allowed to go in as a missionary, maybe you'll start a film company. Maybe, like our workers in Thailand are doing, they do a version of Dora the Explorer. I think it looks like Dora. And they do it in the Thai language in such a way that it prepares hearts for the gospel of Christ. Meanwhile, that same company is offering services to the local businesses to get their commercials online, and all the while poised to share the love of Christ with them. That's marketplace ministries. Envision is very interesting to me also, because Envision can be very close to home. If you're someone who the Holy Spirit is beginning to tap you on the shoulder and say, well, don't just send, why don't you go? Why don't you go? If the Holy Spirit is inviting you to be a goer for his glory, Envision is a way to take a short-term mission trip. One thing that they discovered as they're going about this in New York City is the world is coming to us. The world is coming to us. So you can actually go to New York City and you can be immersed in West African society, because there is a West African society there, group, and learn about their culture and learn about how to share Jesus with them right in New York City. And so that's Envision. Love it. Oh, yeah. This one is spelled C-A-M-A, and we pronounce it CAMA, Compassion and Mercy Associates. It's the relief arm of the Christian Missionary Alliance. I have a friend I met in seminary who is a native to Ukraine. He lives in Ukraine, and they live pretty far from the border. But the way it's going in Ukraine is there's a lot of bombs pretty far from the border. So what we're doing in Ukraine, one of the things we're doing in Ukraine, is we're offering mental health services. When I see some of the pictures coming back from Ukraine, it really paints a picture in my mind because there are children that have to spend the nights sometimes in the bomb shelter. And there are adults trying to create a normal life for them so that they will grow up emotionally healthy. And trying to carve out a life during war is mind-boggling to me, but they're trying. And we are trying to help by offering some mental health services. And one of the pictures that really sticks in my mind is a little guy with his adopted uncle, you could say. He's about this big, and the uncle's there, and it's kind of a school setting, and the uncle has to have his automatic rifle with him. So there's these kids growing up, and there's automatic rifles in the room because they have to be ready all the time. And that's not the world we want to build. So we need to rescue people from that brokenness. And that is part of what we're doing in Ukraine through CAMA. Now, I mentioned Envision. I mentioned Marketplace. And the last one I want to teach you about is Access. Can you do this with me? Access. Access usually means like, come on, you have access. But access is like this. You don't have access to my country. You don't have access to my country. So when we don't have access to a country, we get creative. So I'll tell you a little story. I'll tell you a little story about Tanya. Tanya was born in Senegal. She's born in Senegal. In very poor situation, poverty situation. She was born out of wedlock. Her mother was 15. She sent across the border so that the family doesn't experience shame. And she sent across the border to a relative's house. And she starts to grow up in the relative's house. But it's at first a servant situation. And then it turns into what could probably be described as a slave situation. And it's not great. And she decides at the age of 14 that she's going to go back to Senegal and see her mom, and be with her mom. She loves it. They had kept in touch. So she goes to the border. She like runs away. She goes to the border, and she doesn't have papers, and she's denied entrance to her home country. And they say, you might as well go back to where you came from, but she's not doing that. And somebody sees her in distress, and the person that sees her in distress is a smuggler of humans and offers his services to her to get her across the border. Well, it doesn't go as she planned. And for 3 days, she puts herself into his care. And the telling of the story is such where she says, I can't actually put to words the horrors that happened over those 3 days. And after 3 days, he dumps her out on the side of the border that she wanted. And she's able to get back to her, we'll say, home neighborhood. But tragedy has happened. Her home neighborhood is not heaven on earth. Her home neighborhood is poverty stricken. There's no opportunity there. What hope is there? Well, she runs into, by the orchestration of the Holy Spirit, she runs into someone with an organization called Hands of Honor. And they take her in and they teach her a skill. And now she has an actual small business and she can take care of herself as a woman. In a place where women are usually taken advantage of, she has a business. And they patiently tell her stories from the Bible and teach her enough about Jesus to the point where she says yes to Jesus. So because of an organization called Hands of Honor, which is connected to our denomination and supported through the Great Commission Fund, there's a woman who we don't know what her future would have been, but she's a believer, so she's set for eternity. And she's a businesswoman, so she's set for this life. I mean, I can't predict the rest of her life. But because of people in these 1,900 churches in the United States being generous with our time and our money, we're able to support things across the world. Remember I said it was complicated and there's so much and it's like too much information and what do? Well, sometimes we go and sometimes we send. That's just two options. So there's a thousand things that are the details. But for us today, it's going and sending. If you feel that the Lord is calling you to go, talk to me and I'll get you started to talk to the right people to do that. But today is also about sending. And we have a second gift today, and you can also give online. Just the last thing we're going to do is a little bit of instruction. If you want to give online, you can do a repeating or a one-time gift. I just want to point out this box that says I attend a U.S. Alliance church, and that will trigger a financial thing where North Shore Fellowship is able to have on paper that someone gave. It doesn't tell us who, but it says that someone gave, and that's useful for our bookkeeping. So we're going to take another offering pretty much now and have another song. I know that was a lot. Give a little stretch. But let's consider this. We suffered through a presentation with perhaps too much information for the time that we had. And it was a lot. But let's just compare it. Our cushy seats, our beautiful screen, your handsome presenter. This is pretty easy. But lives and souls are on the line. And this is one way that we can help. So I'll invite the band back up, and we'll finish out the service with another song and collection.